Hello, everyone. We are your hosts, Susan and Jill. We are longtime educators who are here to share with you all things education. We want to inspire you, help you innovate, dream new visions, and best of all, make you laugh. The education field is not an easy one, but we do it because we love kids and we want the very best for them. Join us as we laugh, learn, and get schooled with Kale Education and Company. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode with Kale Education and Company.
She let me come back. She's
get schooled.
She hasn't let me. Oh, yeah. Sorry. We're get schooled. This is why she doesn't let me come back.
Oh, my gosh.
We're like 5 seconds in. I just wanted people to know I was here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure I'm the highlight, Jill.
How's that for humility? Let's talk about our day, Suze.
No, let's not.
Now, I don't know if I'm sure I've mentioned on here before. Susan and my husband are the same people. One's just male and one's female. They're the same, but they're the same. And I mean, I don't even say that as a joke. Like, I mean, they interpret things the same.
Exceptional humans is what you really were going to say right there.
They hear my communication in the same way. They process the information the same way.
And Jill's highly anxious.
Oh, highly.
I say that because I think sometimes that's where I get
her all amped up.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say exactly.
I get her all amped up. I happen to get Devin amped up. Now, sometimes I do it on purpose. I know if I just drop a little something, he's going to go nuts over it and go do something.
You didn't do it on purpose this morning. You were having a great morning.
I never do it on purpose to you. I mean, I walk in. We walk in different doors. And then I see her. I go, Susie.
Right? You should see her walking here with her fingers across the table.
I know. Here we come. We're coming at each other.
That's where we need video.
And
that's worth the whole story right there.
Did you see that?
They can probably hear the little thumps.
I'm sure they can. And we have a rug in the living room area.
Stupid rug.
And you know, there's lots of people walking across that rug, so it kicks. It's a new rug. Like, I just got it in June.
Yeah, we got it in June. But the bottom line is that thing's been tripping kids for the last, like,
month. It curls a little. It curls a little.
It curls. And so I rolled it up.
She did. She tried to flatten it out. I really thought that was going to work, actually. Failed. And so she comes back. And so she walks up and she starts moving the furniture.
Over the curled part. Which Jill raises her little left side of her lip. And gets her little nose all squinched up.
And I'm not sure what I said first. Something about to the effect of, yeah, I've been meaning to, I mean, there's no time, right? And every day I see it or I trip over it, I think to myself, I should just turn it. Because like the other side's not as bad. And if we just turned it, it would probably be fine. Well, I mean, nobody stopped to do that. And in nowhere in my sentence did I say to Susan, you should do that right now.
No, but just like when you said right then, no one stopped to do that.
No one has stopped to do it.
And that's what she said. But the bottom line is, what did Suze hear?
Susan heard, do it now. As if I'm giving her an order. And so she says to me, Jill, do you know the order? Have you ever learned the order of importance?
It's a life skill.
And I go, yeah, everything's important. Because I'm being funny. And in my world, like, no, I don't have an order of importance. I genuinely live with everything has to be done right now. Mm-hmm. So, but she also knows I was being like funny right back to her. Cause I have to calm her down when she gets all hyped up. And so, so then she goes, well, I'll just do it right now. Or I go, Susan, no. No, you don't have to do it right now. And then I made some other joke about it being a legal liability.
And then,
well, that set her over the edge.
I said, heavens.
I was kidding. No. I was kidding.
She was kidding. She was.
I was.
But I said, uh-uh.
And so then we have this thing where we squabble back and forth as if we're siblings, right? Yeah. Or, I don't know, married.
And it makes everyone uncomfortable.
Everyone's so uncomfortable.
So uncomfortable. Jill's not uncomfortable. I'm not uncomfortable. At this point in time, she's now petting me.
I what?
Like, she takes my arm and she literally pets my arm so that I'll calm down, which 100% of the time works.
Yeah.
100% of the time.
Because you got to, like, shock value them out of that. Like,
because she's laughing at me. I'm going to go do it
right now. And
like, that's what I have, is wrong with you?
I go, do you need to walk out of the building and come back in? Like, what is, mom? It is 8 o'clock. What is wrong with you? And so she.
Damn rug. Sorry.
She kind of walks away. I know she's not over it. And she kind of walks away. And anyway, so we joke and we laugh and we're laughing and everything's fine. But then I kid you not, I walk back in an hour later. She's turned the rug. She has turned the rug.
But it was from a place of happiness.
Uh-huh. And funny. I walk in and I go, you're a nut.
Yeah. She's right.
You are a nut. I walked in and saw that thing and I was like, of course she did.
I had time though.
Mm.
Okay, see, no. Oh.
It was picture day. Nobody had time today.
It was just so easy.
We moved, we had brand new groups, and we had picture day today. She did not have time.
But what happened?
But she was going to do
it. Why? Why did I make time? Because you walked in.
And I did trip over it.
You tripped over it.
And like, I thought she
with
saw
like
me.
Three kids at the, simultaneously, I you know. And like three kids, boom, we boom, did. Boom, boom, all tripped. And we I thought, I think now's a really good time because all I could hear was lawsuit, 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 lawsuit. But you know what? 10 seconds, 30 max.
She did it. I was sure you saw me. And I looked at her and I caught her eye and I go, I just tripped. And then I was like, now she's deviling and thinks she has to move it. And I go, you did see it, right?
I did.
I wasn't saying to you, well, I tripped. You got to do it.
No.
Oh, my God.
No. I was in a much better place then, though, Jill, because you rubbed little, me. You rubbed my arm.
Oh, my God. Yeah, calm her down. But she is kind of like Devin used to say to me, because sometimes, not often, but every once in a while we get to ride together because I consulted for the district that he was working for at the time. And I would go in the morning. And when I get time with my friends, I want to vomit all the things that I want to say.
And I just want to ease into the day.
You know? Susan can't do that. Neither can Devin.
Ease it.
Devin used to look at me and he goes, we don't talk on the ride. I listen to my sports radio and you're quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, but you can't be quiet. It's a great day. What time are you going to pick me up? Uh-huh, I mean, like, I have to talk about everything that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Again, we process information
differently. A little different. Yes. Mm-hmm. We are.
That's why we balance each other.
It is. Mm-hmm. And bless you.
Get yourself a partner you can balance with.
Amen. And that's the end of today's lesson.
Teaching and life, whatever, friendships, you better balance each other because it makes it a whole lot easier. So
that's fantastic. Awesome.
Yeah, that was a good start to the day.
Okay, so tell the people where we were.
Man, this past weekend, we went to our first micro school conference.
Yes, in the fabulous Kansas City.
I was going to look, yes.
Missouri. Well, technically it was Overland Park, Kansas, but I'm claiming Kansas City.
Yes. And it was really fun.
It was fantastic.
Yeah.
So overall, so we're going to just talk to you about it and then we can give you guys more details. We'll let you know how to reach out to us if you want more information. But it was really cool because so we just started our third year of our micro school.
Yeah.
And we started, I think, our first year. We never get like we never say the same number twice, but
I know
roughly
I know.
10 kids.
Yeah.
I mean, give or take one.
Yeah.
Maybe. Right?
Yeah.
By Christmas of that year, we'd grown to like 18 and we had to move spaces.
Yeah.
And it's just kept going. And right. So at no point did we, like, we didn't even know micro schools were.
We didn't know it was a term.
What is that? Like, we didn't know that was a term. We just knew that we were doing something, we wanted to do something different.
Yes.
And so we got started. And so this was the first in person. Now I know you have done a lot and I'll let you talk about that with micro schools around the state.
I'm trying really to learn country. As much as I can. Yeah.
I have not done as much. And but for both of us, it was the first conference of this kind we'd attended. And I think it was the first in person conversations regarding micro schools or with colleagues,
yeah,
you know, that are doing what we're doing that we've been to, right?
Yep.
So everything's been over for Jill when she's meeting, everything's been over, you know, Zooms or telephone calls or whatever. So this was the first face-to-face of, holy moly, there are other people like us out there doing this thing.
Yeah.
So what'd you think?
I mean, so for 25 years, we've been listening to one view of education.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what's been fascinating to me, because I have been just reading other perspectives, you know, other ways that people are educating kids. I've never spent time in that sector learning. Well, which, shame on me.
Well, I was going to say, really, well, for both of us, but but I feel like that's so much where, if you're in the world of public education,
you stay there. But I mean, that's not good either, because we don't learn lessons from anything.
Yeah.
And so we keep doing the same things over and over and over. So I kind of am embarrassed to say that it's taken me this long to, like, I don't know,
branch out.
Yeah. Like, pay attention to, I don't know what other people have to say about educating kids. It's not like we have the monopoly on educating kids. And so that to me has been the most eye-opening, I think, is to listen to everything that I've kind of always heard or talked about, and then looking at it from a different perspective.
Well, I don't know if you'll remember this comment, but we were walking into the conference, like, we were still outside, not like outside the conference room, but outside. And we were both, one of us, I can't remember which one, said, I'm kind of nervous.
Yes.
Because it was our first, like, I mean, we knew how to do your traditional public education conferences, like sleepwalking, right? Yep. But like this was, it's just a different group of people. It's the whole thing, the whole situation is different. So I feel like it spurred some great conversations between the two of us. I mean, we talked for our 2 hour trip home nonstop. And your comment about, it's not like we have the monopoly on how to educate children.
Right.
Like it just branched and branched and branched some more, and made us be more reflective and more thoughtful about, are we leading, are we in the forefront of where technology is going, or are we setting our kids up for success? How are we doing with this? How are we doing with that? And it was just a really good professional opportunity to really develop who we are in the micro in the micro school world.
And I mean, we said it multiple times. I wish we'd had this 3 years ago.
So talk about that, because they shared a lot. They shared data.
Yeah.
And like one piece in particular that I thought was interesting were the things that young schools, new schools get hung up on. Stuff. Like, what are the, what are the biggest? Yes.
Yeah. The Vailo report.
And everyone, we could have checked those off.
So they recently, well, I guess over the last couple of years, had been collecting, they did surveys out to these micro schools and just asked various questions like, how are you set up? What's your funding look like? What kinds of kids do you serve? What are you offering? What do your days look like? And like, everything was what we were doing.
Yes. And the obstacles were all the same. Like, most people are dipping into their own money to do this, or taking out very small loans to do this. The hardest thing, and I'm telling you guys, if this is something you're thinking about, the hardest thing is to find a place to hold school.
Yep.
Because,
that is the hardest. Everyone says that.
Yeah.
And it was for us too.
Yeah. It's, yeah. I don't think it's community specific. I think it has to do with zoning regulations, you know, for whichever city you may be living in. But the zoning of that is
so hard,
a legitimate hurdle.
Yeah.
But those were a couple things that really stuck out, because we had to problem solve, and there for a minute we were worried. I mean,
we were definitely worried. And the place that we first went to, you know, I mean, that kind gentleman just decided that he would love to have kids in his building.
He was amazing. Like, he is amazing.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
He did not have to say yes to us. And he did. And, you know, he and his wife just happened to want to support children. So that was, we were lucky, but it was small. Mm-hmm. And so we weren't sure how long, you know, that would work. And I remember at that time, we were talking about a 3-year lease. Mm-hmm. And that would be, that'd be now.
Yeah, with 70 kids.
Oh my gosh.
Well, and a wait list. I mean, but that's what I'm saying. Can you imagine?
No, can you imagine? I can't. But that's the other thing when you're starting to build this, like you have no idea mm-mm. what it's going to look like or be. And so, you know, we started in this small space with 8 to 10 kids, whatever it was. And by December of that first year, like we had outgrown mm-hmm. the space. And so a lot of people at the conference seemed to be renting space in churches. I think
churches seem to be common. So if you're thinking about that, mm-hmm. you know, just for what it's worth, that seemed to be a pretty common theme. There were a couple like that were smaller that were doing mm-hmm. hybrid models.
Yes.
I will say by and large, hybrid models seem to be the most common of the micro school.
Yeah.
I would say for them, mm-hmm. we border on awfully traditional. Do you know what I mean? Yes. We really are, because we are 5 days a week. We are 8:20 to 3:20. I would venture to guess we might have been the only school in there like that.
Yeah.
And we didn't meet everybody, but just listening and.
I think you're right. Yeah. A lot of them partner with homeschool families. Mm-hmm. And so they give them the opportunity to have, you know, these other options, mm-hmm. 2 or 3 days a week.
You know, so, one of the questions we had too, and I don't want to forget to say this, if you're in a rural area, mm-hmm. like you and I had often wondered, well, you know, I wonder what's happening in rural America. Yeah. Like there are so many great small town school districts, but then if you are in a place where your hometown school district is not great, then what?
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
And we had two presenters from mm-hmm. small towns and they were fantastic.
Small town is in like 30 people.
Like 30 people
in
small
the town.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Like, it was small.
They were fantastic.
And they were fantastic. And they were doing great things for mm-hmm. kids. So, I mean, I think that was a renewed spirit for me. Like, there are a lot of great people in the world trying to do really great things for kids. And there's not one system that's going to work for everyone.
Right.
And so, I mean, I think we knew that. And I think that's, you know, one of the reasons why we did what we did. But to take a chance and to do it is hard. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're giving up a lot and mm-hmm. you're walking away and you're going into a very unknown world, which is scary for people. And, you know, I listen to that and I empathize with it, but my husband's a teacher. And so, I mean, we're both educators and we were very much dependent upon my administrative salary mm-hmm. and I still walked away.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I went from salary to zero the next day.
Salary, benefits, insurance. We had all of that.
Because I believed in what we were doing. And I think you have to be willing to take that risk if you're going to do it. And that was a room full of people that said, I'm going to take a risk to do something and help kids in a different way. So that was nice. Like there are other people out there who are doing that work and it was good to be in a room.
Yeah. And it was a good time, I think, to pause too and be reflective of things we did really well.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, you had some opportunity to work in a more of a business kind of background for a minute.
Yeah.
And that served us well as we started, embarked on this.
Yeah.
But I still want to talk about the conference, but just if you're listening and you think that, you know, I would really just like to talk through some plans and some ideas, just contact us because I will tell you after being at that conference, our mm-hmm. experience was very typical.
Yes.
Like, and we have lived it and we have walked through it and, we might not be able to solve everything, but we would sure love to help support, I feel like in any way we can.
Yeah.
Because one approach isn't going to work for all kids. No. That you're right. That really resonated.
Yeah, it did. And that's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I almost feel like all educators need to hear, like, you have permission. I don't know, to do something different. If you feel you have a calling to do something different, be brave and do the darn thing, you know? And if it doesn't work out, okay, doesn't work out and you can go do something different. But kids kids are depending on somebody to do something different. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, we got a whole school full of kids who needed something different.
Yeah,
we do. And
more coming. I mean, that's what's intriguing to me.
For sure. Just
the waiting list.
I know.
For friends. That, mm-hmm. And the growth was across the board. That's for us personally, but it was.
Right. All of them.
Yeah. And there were different states there. I mean, it was all over that.
It was all over.
Midwest.
Yeah. And so, you know, these kinds of things are popping up. So, I mean, I think that was fun to listen to, you know, mm-hmm. just different programs and different things that are happening across the United States and really how policy is getting in there too. That was interesting.
That was one of the things that the policy was really something.
That was really interesting. Mm-hmm. There were some people there from the Justice Society out of Arlington, not Arlington, Alexandria.
Alexandria.
Yeah. That was cool to like listen to different states and different laws that are happening and how they're helping people navigate that.
Well, they're so different. I mean, you know, we're in Missouri and charter laws. And I mean, if you talk about charter schools, mm-hmm. I mean, which is very different in my mind than this micro school movement.
For sure.
Every state has such different laws mm-hmm. and that can be good if you're in certain states and it can be difficult if you're in others. And I think one of the fears that came up, mm-hmm. not fears, but wonderings mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. that you and I've talked about just here in our little closed room offices, mm-hmm. what happens when this keeps growing and growing and the government says, oh, now we have to stand up and pay attention. Mm-hmm. And it was really eye-opening to hear from other states that have been doing this mm-hmm. longer than perhaps Missouri has.
Yes. Yeah.
But also the legal expertise mm-hmm. and the policy expertise that was in the room in regards to, no, we're here for the long haul.
Right.
Like, call us, contact us.
Right.
This is what we're about. We're about all kids. We're about making sure every family has an opportunity to choose what is best for their child when it comes to education and instruction.
Yeah. And supporting the people that are trying to do it.
Yeah.
I think that was really good to hear different perspectives. And I didn't know about the Supreme Court case in 1925, giving everybody freedom to make those kinds of choices. So I think that's an interesting perspective. And I think because of our background and, you know, just what we know, that part it resonated with us a lot. And I think it will be interesting to see what changes because I think you're correct. I mean, there are already over a million kids in micro school situations mm-hmm. and it has exploded since the pandemic because parents have decided, oh, maybe there are other options. Mm-hmm. And so then slowly people are kind of figuring out, oh, what else could I do to help kids in a different way? And, you know, my worry is when anything gets into a system or an institution.
For sure. Well,
that's why things can go awry.
Right. But that goes all the way to your non-for-profits versus which is what we debated a long time.
I mean,
that's not directly what you were speaking to, but I do feel like there's.
Yeah. I mean, the bigger it is and the more institutionalized it is and more levels of bureaucracy, then you've got more problems.
For sure.
And at the end of the day, we all just want to help children. Mm-hmm. And when you're trying to swim through the levels of bureaucracy, you can't help. You can't mm-hmm. help kids. And so making sure that we're able to stay in a place where kids stay the focus and remain the focus. And we're just there to make sure they get the best education possible. Like all educators say that because that's what we all want. But when you're swimming in the system, it's very difficult.
That's
and
so, yes, yes.
You know, and so that I heard that come out. Like,
I heard
we
that.
Know you
yes.
want to do something yes. different. So we're here to kind of help support that and make sure that you can do something different. Mm-hmm. So that was great.
Yeah, it was such a different feel from, you know, some of the other conferences we've gone to. Well, even your SOAR conference last spring, mm-hmm. it was so cool to hear all these teachers all fired up about science of reading and all the great things they were going to do.
Yeah.
But then how many times did you hear, but what if my principal's not on board?
I know.
What if our superintendent's not on board?
What if
you know, and it was,
how do you make sure?
How do you make sure? And this was such a, like a freedom call to
I know. You know,
help kids.
Just I hadn't thought about it that way, but like I don't know if I've ever been to a conference where I didn't hear you have to do this.
Never.
This is what Never. I think this is my, mm-hmm. I just realized that mm-hmm. no one one time said,
no,
you have to do ABC. Mm-mm.
In fact, it was more, how are you doing it differently? Yeah. How are you doing it differently?
Uh-huh. And celebrated.
And celebrated. And that it was, that it was fantastic.
Crazy. That is kind of crazy.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, I mean, the Vela Grants, V-E-L-A, if you're a micro school out there, you should definitely be checking into that. They are supporting this model. Mm-hmm. And they help with funding regardless of how you're structured. Mm-hmm. Imagine that. Mm-hmm. And so,
again,
like there's no rules. Like, are you helping kids? Fantastic. Tell us how and let us help you. Like,
yeah.
I don't even Mind know what blown. To do with that. And so they were there. And if you haven't researched that, you should, because they really do want to help.
Yeah.
They were great. They were great.
Very, very much.
Yeah.
They're not going away, micro schools.
No,
we're not a dying breed. Jill.
No. It's fun to be kind of on the cutting edge of it. Really,
it really is.
It kind of reignites my whole passion mm-hmm. for everything because, again, you work your whole life hoping you can make change, mm-hmm. And this is just another way to mm-hmm. do it. Lots of ways to do it, but this is one, and it has been fun to do it, to build it.
Yeah. Again, for those of you that are thinking about doing something differently or thinking about schooling mm-hmm. differently than perhaps the system you're in now or whatever that might look like, I know Jill and I would love to be a part of that journey with you and just share thoughts and insights that we might have as you embark on this really incredible, incredible journey.
Yeah. And we are working to get together some Missouri micro schools for sure.
Super excited.
So we're starting to try to get the conversation going in Missouri. We have a Facebook page that we'd love for you to join. If you're in Missouri or surrounding areas, that'd be great. We're just trying to kind of find people here.
Find
the people that want to have the conversation. So we would like to host a conference for it next fall. So fall of 24 mm-hmm. and just bring people together. Let's talk about it. Let's have different tracks where you can talk about, we're thinking about having a mic. We're thinking about building a micro school. How do we do that? Mm-hmm. A track on if I'm going to do it and I need marketing and website help and the business side, how do I do it? That would be a track. Mm-hmm. Curriculum instruction. What are some ideas and things that people are doing. And if I have no idea how to get started, how would I get started? And then leading a micro school. Like if you feel like you're not sure where to start with all the things like forms and handbooks you know,
structure.
Yeah. Like how am I going to schedule my day? How does this look? So, and there could very well be more than that, but I mean, those are kind of our early brainstormings of how do we bring people together and allow them to be where they are on their learning bridge of next steps for them. And so our Facebook page is called Empowering Missouri Micro Schools, a Hub for Excellence. So it is a private group, but please join us and start that conversation and help us keep it going and find people so that we can help and support each other here in the state and the states that are around us.
Well, and I think too, I do think as micro schools become more and more popular and necessary.
Yeah.
I think that I don't know the right word, but that ability to rally around, what do we do when kids aren't learning?
Yes.
Because as these grow,
mm-hmm.
You are going to run into that. Mm-hmm. And I do think we need to be professionally mm-hmm. inept mm-hmm. enough mm-hmm. to say, hey, when a kid's struggling with reading, I know what I need to do. I know what best practice is. Or I know where to go get support for this.
For sure.
And so I do think building capacity for me is as important as helping
young microschools get started as anything else.
Right.
And what's really cool is the microschool movement comes from individuals from all types of mm-hmm. professional backgrounds, yeah. right? So I mean, I don't know. I didn't ask you this the other day coming back, but I would venture to guess uh-huh. that you and I might have been the only K-12. I am sure we were the only district level administrators
I would
in there.
That's right.
And I'm not entirely sure we weren't maybe the only principals.
Yeah, that could be.
Previous principals.
I would say that's probably true.
And I'm not sure, but by and large, there weren't many of us. Yeah. I'm certain about that. Yeah. But I do think that there's a certain bit of professionalism that's mm-hmm. owed to mm-hmm. when we are going to start these schools, when we are going to embark on this journey,
right.
what is best practice? How are we going to develop a craft? How right. are we going to ensure when we get a kid that reads differently or does math right. differently or is dyslexic or what, how can I help that child? Because yeah. this hybrid or this mm-hmm. micro school philosophy fits mm-hmm. this family and it fits mm-hmm. this student, but I need to make sure I reach him academically. And we owe that to people. Yeah. I mean,
yeah. I agree.
So I think that is something that really excites me too.
Yeah.
Is being able to serve others in that way.
Yeah.
So
let's keep the conversation.
Let's going. Do it.
Yeah. So you can find us at www.kaleedco.com. And again, that Facebook page for the micro schools. Now, hang on. I've lost it now. Let me find it again. Empowering Missouri Micro Schools, a hub for excellence. So join us there. Join the conversation. Let's get excited about potential fall conference. And
I'm excited about that.
Yeah. And bring people together. And if you build it, they will come.
That's the rumor.
That's the rumor. So tell your friends, grab a friend, join the club, and we'll keep the conversation going.
I love it.
All right.
Thanks
Susie.
Thank
we'll see you all next
Jill.
Time.